Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Live streaming on a bit of an off day, but it's cool. Let's see. I don't think I had anything urgent, but anyways, how's it going, Jade? Any church announcements for this week?
So it was a couple months back, I told everybody I did the pop the balloon, and it's out. It's cringy.
As most of them are. Cringing
so hard. Yes. but yeah, so that's out. So if you follow me on Instagram, it's linked in the stuff so you can find it. but yeah, other than that, I'm still playing Animal Crossing Strong. I promise I'm going to stream it. I just have been in the, I want to get over the first part phases and then start building on my island.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the bulk, because I've been doing the bulk of it before streaming. So that way, all my cheat mode stuff, so that way I can get to the point to where I can just start designing on camera. So, doing that. And then I'll probably start Ghost of Yotei. Soonish. I don't know when. But soon. I'll start it soon. Other than that, nothing else. Yeah, just, it's cold out, y'all. Stay warm. Stay warm. What about you? Anything new?
I officially have a Substack now, where I blog and do newsletters weekly. I'll do a blog/newsletter called M's Musings. So if you have a Substack, be sure to subscribe. I have both a free tier subscription and a paid tier subscription. The paid tier subscription would be where I go into my hyperfixations about certain stuff. And write maybe an extra article with a linked video. That's the goal. I'm not saying it's there yet. I'm just saying that's what you can expect in the coming weeks. So, yeah, subscribe to my Substack. Let's see where I have more of my raw takes on certain things. And I also just geek out about stuff that I don't want to make another YouTube channel is basically what I'm saying. Not right now, anyway. So, until I have a either more flexible job and or content creation is what I actually do full-time, yeah. Yeah, so there's that. And then I guess I'll post a YouTube video this week, maybe. Don't hold me to it. And yeah, that's it. We are obviously off for Thanksgiving, but I think that would be the only week that y'all won't get an episode until the Christmas holidays, if we can swing it right. So, unless something comes up. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's all the church announcements for me. So, let's get right into our docket, which is more so of a catch-up, because I did an impromptu break, last week, but yeah, but let's get right into our docket with the news beat and start off recapping, election day, which was last Tuesday, so, basically, the big winners were Abigail Spanberger winning governor of Virginia, becoming Virginia's first female governor. Although that wasn't really projected to be a tight race, but hey, good for Virginia. She She beat Winston Earl Sears by a very wide margin. So consider a big win. New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill won. The Democrat candidate, Mikey Sherrill won governorship for New Jersey, becoming New Jersey's first female Democratic governor. When she's sworn in. So this one was actually projected to be a close race. And she also won by a large margin. So unsure why it was projected to be a close race, or maybe it's just, well, I'll get to the analysis part in a minute. Yeah, it's projected to be close, and she won by by similar margin to Abigail Spanberger, which is about 15 points. At least last I saw, like the day after, when it was like 97% reporting. So, but yeah. And of course, the biggest two, that I think made waves was that, New York City elected Zohran Mamdani, as their new mayor, beating out Andrew Cuomo, who was actually New York's former governor before he was ousted for being a creep. Yeah. So, and it was kind of ironically funny because all the billionaire donors and the president endorsed Cuomo, and Mamdani still won. So, Mamdani was actually kind of a lightning rod to say, because he was the more progressive candidate. He refers to himself as known as a democratic socialist. So kind of the same wing as Bernie Sanders and AOC. So yeah. New York has a chance to redeem themselves from Eric Adams. Hopefully it goes well. I was rooting for Mamdani from my small town USA, so yeah. And then finally, California passed Proposition 50, which was a proposition kind of introduced by Governor Gavin Newsom, which is basically redistricting effort so that when California can redraw their maps and pick up five Democratic seats to go to Congress to offset Texas's redistricting efforts, where the state Senate is just doing it. So I had to explain to someone like why it was important. Is like, it's because California just does propositions for everything, is what I'm learning. Maybe not everything, but they do a lot of propositions for a lot of stuff that other state houses and state senators would just do. So which I kind of respect. I kind of wish more states would do propositions so that people actually know throughout the year of like what are we voting for instead of. But it's a power thing. I get it. All right. So those were what I deemed as big winners. But looking into the granular races, there were a lot of wins Tuesday, particularly on the Democratic side. For the Democratic Party, it was objectively a really good night for the Democratic Party, because across all local, city, municipal, and state levels, Democrats either won or observed really noticeable shifts to the left within the trend lines. But I think they won, like, they didn't win everything. I don't think they won everything, but it was like the vast majority was won. And the main sticking point in voters' minds, at least from the sample size that they ask, you know, post-voting, was affordability. And the other kind of key takeaway was that there wasn't really a certain Democratic archetype that won overall, because you had candidates like Mikey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger who were more centrist, who won by like large margins. But you also had progressive candidates Zohran Mamdani, who won mayor by also won by a large margin. So it seems like the party of Big Tent is making a comeback. And speaking of Big Tent, that kind of let, it's not on the docket, but that kind of led into the whole discourse with how Dems voted to end the shutdown. It was 8 centrists who basically caved. Everybody else held out in the Senate. But that's kind of the flip side of Big Tent, right? So, like, yes, you have a Big Tent where you have different thoughts, political philosophies when it comes to liberalism, but also sometimes you ain't gonna agree with them. I am not an official member of the DNC. I'm just an observer. And it's honestly a little easier to kind of pare down the factions within the Democratic Party as opposed to the GOP, because I don't know what they're doing over there. Anyway, your thoughts on Tuesday's elections?
So I think the most random thing that came about from the elections for me was Kentucky, and the fact that Kentucky was angry that their polling places were shut down. And they were like, y'all, we're not voting, and you can't vote for New York anyway. I was like, that was just hilarious to me to be like, yeah. But just from moving from New York, I was like really rooting for Mamdani. I was rooting for Mamdani. And because I've just been hearing about him for months, and so now to see it come to fruition and be like, yeah, like he's mayor, because Mayor Adams was terrible. I was like, yeah, he was terrible. I think he's even now, like they just reported how he's like his last weekend, he's gonna go to Israel. Why? So it's just kind of just random. And then of course Andrew Cuomo, he tried. I think you're still riding on the coattails of being governor during COVID and handling all that, and everybody was like cheering you on for that, on how you handled it.
But in hindsight, but
then you had a scandal.
I was like, in hindsight, he handled it all right, but it wasn't great. He was just very vocal and like in the cameras about it.
Exactly. I was like, in hindsight, it's just like, oh, you really weren't, like, you were doing your job.
Yeah.
We praised you for doing your job. I was like, that's mainly it. But then it's like, that's going to be overshadowed no matter what by your scandal of being a creep. And you didn't think that, like, I don't think he really thought that through. Like, because even your brother he had to give up his own job because of you. So I'm like, and if we haven't heard anything from him, why would you think that, like, yeah, enough time has passed. People forgot. No, we didn't.
I mean,
no, nobody forgot.
I mean, his brother is still around. He's just like,
I wouldn't even. Not on national network news anymore.
No, I don't know if it's corporate independent media, but he is on a network or a channel called News Nation. I just don't know if it's independent or corporate media, but it's not at the level of CNN, I'll put it that way. But yeah.
Yeah. It's not. He doesn't have his old job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And then with the elections with California, of course, with the Prop 50, that's a good win for California. That's a good win, period. Not just for California, but like specifically for California, but being able to control how they try to redistrict everything to be in favor of one party, where this is going to make it fair to block that.
Yeah.
So that's a win. So yeah, it's like overall, the Democrats were winning. Democratic Party, if you lean that way, good for you. If you don't, oh well. yeah, it's like it was a win for the blue. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this means anything for midterm, so I mean, that's a lie. I'm plugging my Substack. I did write about it a bit more in depth in there. So I do think there is more momentum on the Democratic side going into midterms next year. Oh, Lord, we do this all over again. but yeah, going into next year, it's going to be a very interesting election season. I'm kind of excited. And I'm excited in the sense of like looking at it from an analytical perspective. So, but yeah. All right. Anything else on Tuesday's elections?
No. I think that's it on that.
Cool. All right. Moving right along to most of the countries are actually going to Brazil, or Brazil's northern city of Belém, negotiate the ongoing response to climate change, because that's still a thing. So this is for the UN's annual climate summit, which is called the Climate Change Conference, or Conference of the Parties of the UN FCCC, more commonly known as COP30. Because this year's the 30th anniversary, I believe. But it began today. Is expected to last about 2 weeks. We are not showing up in official capacity, and by that I mean our heads of state and or ambassador to the UN is not showing up, and would not play an active role in the talks. According to the White House statement to NPR, no high-level officials will attend. Which breaks the long-standing tradition, but at this point, I don't think any of us are surprised. However, we do have a representative going. California Governor Gavin Newsom, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham are expected to arrive at Belém on Tuesday. Also, it's like, it's kind of a slap in the face that we're not showing up, because if we discontinue our climate efforts, the UN report estimates that the planet could warm by an extra 0.1 degrees Celsius, a small fraction of the total change to the planet, but a chunk that could still have significant real life impacts, such as hotter summers, more volatile storms, some crops might be in danger, and yada, yada. But yeah, so... but your thoughts on the COP30 and having to rely on Governor Newsom to, I guess, represent us.
I know. I was like, he basically is like, I herald the beginning. I just watched it over again, so that was stuck in my head. Like, who are you, the protector of this planet? Apparently he's like, yes, I am. I represent the United States as a governor of one state within the 50 states. But yeah, like, that's pretty sad that the White House has even made a statement saying that there won't be any officials going, like high level officials going, to represent the United States, and it has to come from one governor to be like, well, not one governor, but I think it's because he's popular at this point right now. That's why.
Yeah.
But it's like it takes governors from different states to actually go up to be like, hey, we're going to represent our country, because apparently our country doesn't want to represent itself. Climate control is real. Not climate control, but climate impacts are real. And we do have the power to change the effects that it can have, because even though it might not affect it on our lifetime, it might impact like your grandchildren, your grandchildren's children.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that you can do now to lessen climate control, the waste that we put out, the heating up, the greenhouse gases, the everything. We do have the power and ability to control that to where we can have a direct effect on the future. But the U.S. right now, not all of us, but just a certain subset of people who vote a certain way, who don't care and or don't think that that's real, that the climate is not real, and like the ozone layer isn't real, and like all these things. But it's like, no, it's very much real, and it might not affect you right now, but it actually is affecting us right now. But you might not think it directly affects you. It does. Kudos to all the other countries going through and being a part of the negotiations about climate change. But of course, the U.S., we're going to sit back and for the next 3 years, 3.5 years. How much longer we got? Damn, it's down forever. But yeah, we got 3 more years of this. Yeah. So
we have abdicated our responsibilities.
Yes.
But yeah, so that happened. I just thought I'd bring it to the table of like, some people still care about climate change. We just don't. As a country. But all right, moving on to Creator Hub. Going on to Twitch news. So Path to Partner now requires 6 streams with a 75 plus CCV while maintaining 75 plus average across 2 consecutive 30-day periods. It has changed, it was previously 8 streams. So basically you just gotta do what, 3 streams in each month? Yeah. So that's a thing. So if you're partner pushing, keep that in mind. Half of the accounts created on Twitch over the last 6 months are set to Russian language. I thought that was interesting because I immediately thought of bots, but that's me being cynical and suspicious, and maybe not. Of interest, I might actually watch this hearing. The House Oversight Committee's Twitch / Discord hearing is still planned, however, because we're shut down. As of now, we're still shut down, but we should open this week. The government shutdown is delayed setting a new date, but expect a hearing with the House Oversight Committee. That's going to be a mess with the House. Senate Oversight, okay. House, God. It's dramatics with the House all the time. All right. Twitch had another round of layoffs as part of Amazon's major 14,000 person layoff. It appears to have affected a few dozen people connected with Twitch specifically. If you are a partner, you can bookmark link.twitch.tv/frontpage and apply for front page each month by simply selecting their content language. Seems really easy. Twitch has launched a moderation analytics dashboard for the moderators. Twitch CEO Dan Clancy and Twitch, on an update to the Emmy Rue situation that occurred at TwitchCon, provided an update regarding TwitchCon where they apologized to Emmy Rue and are making a donation. I still think you should sue Emmy Rue, but that's just me. But maybe there's something within your partner contract that doesn't allow you to sue. I don't know, but that's just me. Yeah. Let's see. And then anything on those Twitch updates? So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm suing. I don't care what my contract says. I'm suing. I hate when big corporations and companies go and be like, well, we'll make a donation. And it's like, yeah, make a donation to my pockets.
Yeah.
No.
I'll make the donation. Like, you pay me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you pay me and then I'll make it, or you let me pick where you put that money to. Don't just be like, oh, we're going to make a donation to XYZ who happens to run. I'm friends with such and such who runs this corporate, charity. No. It's kind of, that is interesting about the accounts that, half the accounts are created, have it set to Russian language, which means that, like, that area, or not even like Russia itself, but like the Eastern Europe, European countries that speak or have close enough language to Russian. But that is interesting. Like, why? Why that sudden trend? The partner push is more obtainable. That's still a big feat to do, but that is more obtainable for having a 2 consecutive 30-day periods versus 8. So it's like 2 over 8 is, if you have your fan base, if you have your people, it's easier to push that.
It was across 2 consecutive 30-day periods, but it went from 8 streams to 6 streams.
It is 6. But that's more obtainable. Even 6 is too less. That you can spread that over. You can get that done in a week.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if you really, like, if you're grinding it out, you can just do, boom, 6 days straight. You can do 2, 2, 2. Okay, yeah, that is 6. I was like, I just did that math right. Okay. So you can do 2 a week. You can do 3 for 2 weeks. But it's like, as long as you do your 6 days, like, you can be in there and you have your consistent people that are coming to watch your streams, you should be pretty set. Even with it just being at 75, because wasn't it larger at one point, the 75, or has it always been 75?
It's always been 75 for as long as we've been on Twitch. I think at one point it was larger when it was, like, still within the Justin.tv land.
With the layoffs, eek. I mean, everybody knew it was coming, but it's also not shocking, but because you know it's coming. But it's still a little bit shocking to be like, ooh, that many layoffs happening.
Yeah.
And layoffs happen at the worst times. They really do. But it's always like end of quarter. That's when they dump. So that happens to be around the holidays. unfortunately.
Yeah, quarter four.
Yeah. But yeah, the partner bookmark, that is a really simple like thing to do. Just a bookmark, go in, apply, and just doing your language, and that's it. Like it sounds too good to be true. Like, it's that simple. Y'all made something actually like efficient. So, but yeah, and then what did they change about the dashboard for the analytics part?
Yeah.
Cause I was about to say, I was like, we've had the dashboard for a while, but, I guess it's the breakdown of everything for it now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll have something and then it feels the same. I haven't noticed a difference in it for the moderator dashboard. Yeah, it's like I haven't really noticed a big difference. And because like where in the analytics would it, I'm trying to figure out like what's different. Yeah, I'm looking, where are we different at?
I don't know. Maybe it's
they'll
like
put out these things. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say maybe it's like I was like, maybe if we had a super active chat and mods had to like be like, you had to do timeouts and bans a lot more, maybe that would be what would be showing up, but yeah, I'm not sure. I'm assuming, I don't know.
It's always something to look out and be like, is it actually helpful? We'll see.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that they silently kind of rolled out and been like, because I didn't see any, because usually they'll like send like if it's like bigger stuff, maybe they did, I just ignored it, because they'll send out like emails or have a not a whisper but in your notifications they'll tell oh this is new, and I haven't really seen anything other than like they retired Prime Gaming.
Yeah,
that's the thing. They retired Prime Gaming. But that happened a month ago. Yeah. But we still get all the perks from it, but just the Prime Gaming itself is gone. But yeah, Twitch is doing okay outside of that apology. I was like, again, I want a donation to my pocket, not wherever you think that you deem the money should go.
Yeah.
And I'll decide if where else it can go after that point.
Yes, agreed. All right. YouTube news. YouTube has started rolling out likeness detection for all partner program creators. This tool helps you detect AI matches of your facial likeness. What happens if you just happen to look like that person? Anyway, I'll get to that because it's my last bullet point for YouTube, but it sounds good in theory. You can also now set a timer to stop doom scrolling on YouTube Shorts. YouTube sponsorships have surged 54% year over year. I wonder if that's supposed to be, over the last year. Sorry, copy-pasted. Communities is now rolled out to all users on desktop. YouTube has new enforcement for content that includes graphic violence and video games. If you are a gamer content creator on YouTube, what this means is that YouTube will age restrict an additional small subset of video game content featuring realistic human characters that focuses on scenes of torture or scenes of mass violence against non-combatants. And they have different tiers of, like, duration, gore, and all that. YouTube TV is getting a Netflix-like makeover, if you have YouTube TV. YouTube is offering employees voluntary exit packages as it reorganizes its product teams to focus on an AI-centric future. Yay. So they're also downsizing and layoff. Voluntary layoffs. Okay, going back to the AI stuff. YouTube creators are being banned for false associations with other accounts. Creators suspect it's because of its AI moderation, which goes back to the likeness detection as well as the copyright detection stuff. So, yeah. This is what happens when you let AI do shit. But your thoughts on the YouTube news?
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, yeah, don't let AI dictate everything that you do, because when you put it in the hands of AI, it doesn't know how to differentiate sometimes. There is a margin for error, and that's how people get banned, because they're like, using somebody's likeness and actually just happen to look like somebody is ridiculous. I get it. I get the positives of it, but you should have a person behind that, not a computer, because it can't differentiate between the two sometimes. That's good that they have a timer for doom scrolling. I'm glad I have not picked up doom scrolling on YouTube Shorts, because I already do it on TikTok and Instagram, and like, oh, I'll go down a rabbit hole on Instagram. So I was like, YouTube, I know, is a dangerous game to still go down and start watching shorts for that and just clicking through. But it's good. I think they should adopt that for other platforms too. Like, they should, a lot of platforms will copy each other with different settings that they'll have. That's something that should roll out in other platforms, because that's pretty beneficial. To be like, I'm going to doom scroll for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And after that, it'll kind of kick you out and be like, oh, like Netflix will be like, are you still watching? So you'd be like, oh, I have been just binging on this, so let me stop.
Yeah.
Ooh, what was I going to say? I don't know. So I'm just going to move on to my next point. It's cool that the YouTube TV app is getting the revamp. It's been the same since forever. Well, not forever, but I had it. It was hard to navigate. It was easy for me to navigate. It was hard for my mother to navigate. But everybody has Netflix. Like, pretty much everyone has Netflix. So if you give it something, a similar platform that it's based off of, for feel-wise, it makes it easier for other people to be like, oh, it's user-friendly, because you're used to it. Same thing, like, with controllers. Like, that's why a lot of controllers seem to be similar, because it's a user thing. So, like, that's good for that. Just why must AI? Why? Why are we giving up our jobs to AI? I really want to know. Why are we voluntarily giving up our jobs for AI? And just because they've been like, hey, I guess leaving on your own versus being forced out. Because I've been in that situation where my job was like no longer there.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, well, I just found a job before our time was up, and was like, okay, well, guess I'll move on.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting laid off. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's just, like, good for them for offering a package to your employees, but also for AI. It's not even, like, a cutback thing or anything like that. It's for... for you to focus on something that might not, like we say, might not be a thing in the future. Like, we know AI is going to be a thing, but we just hope that it's not going to be the way that it's going.
Right.
Hope that it's not going to be shaped the way that it is now, that it would be different. But yeah, it's just, yeah. I guess if that package is right enough, though, I'd be like, I might take it. and then for the gaming-wise, smart to have the content restrictions, not restrictions, but the enforcement. There we go. For the gaming sides, because there are games that you play that are very graphic and are not meant for all audiences, and even though parents don't care, or they don't care until it directly affects them,
right?
And then when little Timmy does something, and then you're like, well, where'd you learn this? And it's like a game. It's like, yeah, but you bought the game for them, you allow them screen time to watch it. Like, hearing a whole lot of you had power in this. So it's okay. I like that they're taking the Twitch approach, where Twitch has us marking your content, being like, oh, it's not safe for
kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that way they automatically know, like, you have to click a little button that says, I can be here. And you've been warned.
Yep.
That this is what goes down. So, yeah. But, yeah. All that to say, still, fuck AI. So, yeah. It ruins a lot of things.
It does. All right. On to creator industry news. Stream Hatchet is a website, and it had some market share stats for Twitch and YouTube, basically, for this past quarter. So Twitch is down 48.1% market share. YouTube's up to 26%. I kind of, looking at both, I can kind of see why. Just because YouTube has just been very consistent, and it's very easy, especially if you are leaning into doing independent media, and you got a mic and some free time, and you're making your own podcast, there's still that ecosystem of, like, yeah, anybody can be a political commentator these days. This is a very lucrative time to be a political commentary, I'll put it that way. So I wish I could go into that foray, but also I would get sick of it real quick. But yeah, so that's the market share for Twitch and YouTube, respectively. Twitch is, like, it's tougher because it's live, but also because, like, you can schedule out streams, but you can't schedule out streams. Like, you could schedule out a YouTube video premiere. And not to mention the algorithm of YouTube is just better once you, you know, get in there, and know what you're doing. So, yeah, it's till all this time at this point. TikTok has increased the sub split to 70%. We'll offer a 20% bonus if you can reach 100,000 views in the last month. We're also posting 3 sub-only videos for you TikTok creators. TikTok is launching Smart Splits, a tool that automatically clips, reframes captions, and transcribes long-form content into multiple short videos. some very interesting things coming out of Luminosity. Creators who have signed to Luminosity have reported a lack of payment and limited communication from the organization's new owners, Vertical Studios, Vertical with a Q, Vertical Studios, which was acquired September 2nd of this year. Luminosity reached out to the majority of their creators to let them know they were terminating their contract, and they're also now reportedly selling Luminosity. So that, yeah, and where I copied it from, it was like multiple question marks. It was like, you already got sold, so you're selling it again? I don't know. Or maybe they're selling their name. I don't know. But yeah, weird stuff going on in Luminosity. And interesting news, Drake, Aiden Ross, and Stake are facing a class action lawsuit in Missouri for promoting illegal online gambling. If you don't know, I'm sure you know who Drake and Aiden Ross are. If you don't know what Stake is, they're that gambling company where sometimes you'll see a post trying to go viral or attempting to go viral, where it says, like, this celebrity is doing some wild shit or something, and like it'll have the Stake logo at the bottom that lets you know it's fake. But yeah, that's what Stake is. It's an online gambling company. Drake is facing a second class of action for similar reasons in New Mexico. Australia's under 16 social media ban starts on December 10th of this year and has recently been expanded to include Reddit and Kick. Makes sense. Blue Sky now has 40 million users. Shouts to Blue Sky. And Rockstar delayed Grand Theft Auto 6 until November 2026. So, for you GTA lovers, sorry. I still haven't played any.
I'm never in that game.
I haven't played any, so, but sorry to y'all. I'm used to the wait. Anyway. your thoughts on the creator industry?
Y'all ain't getting that game.
Yes, we are.
You'll get it eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually. But no, kudos to Blue Sky for 40 million users. Like, they came out strong because they're one of the few that are actually still around from everybody wanting to make the great escape from Twitter.
I will argue that Threads is still kind of jumping. That's my Doom Scroll site. I don't really post there. My stuff is kind of recycled from Instagram. When I do post, I just scroll to get tea and information on stuff that, you know, I don't have to sift through the, how would you describe? I don't have to sift through all of the junk on Twitter to get to. But yeah, no, Threads is kind of jumping for me. I don't know, but Threads and Blue Sky for sure. Blue Sky for sure has definitely made an impact.
They definitely have made an impact. I've still refused to get on Threads. I don't know why at this point. It's just childish.
Probably, I'll tell you offline. It's probably for the best you're not on there.
Gotcha. But yeah, I was just like, I just refuse. But Blue Sky, I have one. I forget I have one, and then I'll go in. I'll be like, oh yeah, and I'll go and I'll be like, people like this old ass post that I made a year ago, still, and I'm like, okay, cool, thanks. I should use it more often. I really should. But yeah. Kudos. Since I'm giving kudos out, kudos again to, not again, but kudos to TikTok for upping their split. 70% is actually a pretty big amount.
Yeah.
I was like, so that's... that's much better. And then, like, with the bonus, that's cool, too, though, because a lot of those people who go viral and have those big number of videos, they can actually profit from that getting that extra 20% bonus for that, because some people are consistent where they have those views. That'd be good for them. I think that's kind of cool though for the smart split, for it to automatically clip all your and to clip it, and to do the transcribing and all that stuff. So that way you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to put it in like a, what's the name of it? What's the name of the other clip one?
You're talking about, it's not one that I use as much, but you're talking about CapCut.
Yeah, CapCut. There we go. Yeah, because I was like, you can do all that on CapCut, but with it being integrated in.
Yeah.
Or at least, at least having a part of that, that'll be easier to format. You don't have to like reformat your videos or anything like that to have it for TikTok specifically. So that'll be good. And then also, what's the shadiness going on? Luminosity, like, y'all ain't getting paid because. It's giving Firefest, but for streaming. But yeah, it's like I would definitely watching that moving forward. And about them like terminating contracts, and then like selling off the company. So that's just kind of weird, like a domino effect of everything happening. It's like, just say you broke and you ain't got no money.
That's
just say that.
That's more likely it.
Yeah, because that's ridiculous. And then speaking of ridiculous, Drake. How is, so Stake itself is for gambling.
Yeah.
How is it illegal online gambling? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because if it's not available in your, like if online gambling isn't available in your state, then it shouldn't be accessible. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. But it's just for promoting the gambling. Yeah. But still. And this is why I had the conversation before and I said, don't put your name on something to have it tied to you, because.
Yep.
No. Just stuff like this. But yeah. Because Drake is like, I've seen multiple. I don't know much about Aiden Ross other than I've seen his face and like a little bit about his streaming history, but I don't pay attention to him. But like at least Drake, I've seen the little ads for Stake where he's like in a hotel room and then they zoom over with a drone cam and he drops a shoe and it's like for Stake because he was gambling on the computer and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's just randomness and like, but it's a promotion for Stake.
So
I've seen those.
So Stake is legal in 33 U.S. States, Missouri and New Mexico is actually legal there. You gotta be 21 plus. But I think the illegality comes in of the how they're gambling, not necessarily the fact that they're gambling.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because of what they're gambling for on.
Yeah.
Things are illegal. But yeah. Okay. That makes more sense. And then everybody should follow suit with Australia and ban underage use of social media. I'm for it. I know them kids are mad, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's not just Facebook and MySpace anymore. It's so much. It's so much. I'd argue the chat rooms, we weren't supposed to be doing that really anyway, but yeah. But it's just a lot, so I agree. Okay. And that was it, right? That's all you had?
Yeah, that was it for that.
Alrighty. And on to our Just Don't Care, So Do We Care segment. So, if you're thinking of buying a house, if you are not, if you're not already a homeowner, and or you're thinking of moving, you're thinking of getting a house, there's a proposal from the current administration to start doing 50-year mortgages, as opposed to our current 30-year mortgage. The 50-year mortgage for a house, if you're getting finance for a house, it would stretch loan repayments over 50 years. Typical home buyer spends 39% of income on housing, but yeah. You know, we can just say we're in a recession, it's fine. It's okay to just say that, but 50 years. 50 years where I made.
50 years is crazy.
That is insane. I think 30 years is a little long myself, but with the price of housing as it is, it's kind of like best option, but yeah. 50 years where you're not, shit, by the time you're finished paying the interest, you're going to be too old to care.
That part, you're going to be forever in debt.
Yeah.
Just, and like people who are like, what's going to lower your monthly payments? It's like, yeah, and then your interest rate. I was like, so even at like the most basic interest rate, like 6-7%. You're going to be paying so much in interest that it's going to be triple what you're paying for the house itself. So you buy a house for $300,000-$400,000 and you end up paying like $900,000 for it.
Right.
And I'm like, that's, in the words of Justin Bieber, it's not clocking to you. Like, it's not clocking, like, oh my God. But you think that just because the monthly mortgage goes down about $200, that's a smart move. And it's like, no, it's really not. This is so idiotic. And you're trying to sell this on people to where you're like, well, now everybody can buy a house. It's going to be affordable to everybody get a house. It's like, yeah, it's going to be easier for you to get a mortgage, but you're paying so much more in the end. You're not going to be able to enjoy this house that you're going to work until retirement age to pay it off.
And if you are the type who moves around, even if you attempt to sell your house, you're either going to be underwater, no, belly up, what's the term, I forgot, you're gonna be selling at a loss, basically, because of the money you put in, and because of if the price, if inflation keeps increasing, and the price of the house increases from what you bought it as, you're not gonna get, yeah. It's not going to be worth it, really. It might actually go the opposite way. Because if you already get doing 50-year mortgages, and you're paying out the wazoo for this house, but the housing market bursts, then you'll be upside down. So that's when you'll be upside down in payment and you won't really get a profit. There we go. Regardless, if you sell the house, it's you're not going to get a lot from it, is my point. Yeah. So. Yay!
It's ridiculous.
You know,
right?
The lady who liked to laugh with the silk press one to give first time homeowners like $25,000, but you know, I guess that was too much to ask for.
That's too easy. They don't want you to have kids no more. No, they want you to have kids, but they don't want to help take care of them.
Right.
They want you to have a house, but they don't want to pay you a livable wage in order to stay in said house. They don't want you to be sick, but they don't want you to have health care. it's just a lot of...
Yep. Speaking of health, better drink that cod liver oil and prepare for winter, I guess, because that's where we're at. Don't get sick this winter, guys.
Correct. So I was like, I'm glad my job has good insurance. They better.
Yeah. So, but that happened. All right. And then on to weekly roundups that are under the radar. Kim K flunked the bar. California bar. In fairness, I guess I should say the California bar is the hardest bar. One of the hardest, if not the hardest bar in the United States passed. But she flunked it. But she vows not to give up on her dream of becoming a lawyer. She's been at this for going on 6 years now. And I don't know if this is true, but I saw some posts where she was like apparently studying with ChatGPT. I don't know if that's true. That's what other people were saying. And I was like, well, you know, correlation isn't causation, but there's a correlation there. If that is true, but she definitely did not pass the bar. Yeah, but she's a billionaire, so who cares? I didn't know you had anything on that.
Yeah, I was like, at the end of the day, she's still, like you said, a billionaire. I get wanting to live up to the legacy of her father and be a part of that still. And like going on that journey of it. I was like, but you could have just went to law school at this point. But yeah, that's neither here nor there, apparently. But yeah, it's like, yeah, just go ahead and try again. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Just try again.
Yeah. Maybe don't stay with ChatGPT if you did study before.
Yeah.
All right. And then last but not least, on a bit of a positive note, for those of you who are fans of A Different World, a sequel has been ordered to become a series at Netflix. It's going to have 10... I miss the days when we had 22 half-hour episodes, but it's going to have 10 half-hour episodes. Felicia Pryde, who has worked on Grey's Anatomy and Bel-Air, will serve as a showrunner and executive producer. Debbie Allen, who produced, directed, and acted in the original series, will direct 3 episodes of the continuation, including the premiere. The show's going to center on Deborah Wayne, who's played by Malia Joy Moon, and she's going to be the youngest daughter of Hillman College's Dwayne Wayne, and Whitney Gilbert, who was played by Kadeem Harrison, Kadeem Hardison, and Jasmine Guy, respectively. So as Deborah enters her freshman year at their HBCU alma mater and finds the shadow of her parents difficult to escape, so she's gonna set out to build her own legacy while having the time of her life alongside a whole new generation of Hillman's best and brightest. So nice.
I think it's cool that that's also Tanisha Arnold's daughter.
Yeah.
The one with the puffs. I was like, oh, cool. But I was like, it's cool that they're going to have a nice little continuation story of A Different World and see how they adapt the stories for now, because Bel-Air did good.
Oh, Bel-Air did great. I love it.
To be, Yeah, it's like I never watched it. So I was like, but everybody, now that it's off or going off,
yeah,
I'll probably watch it. But I saw everything and everybody was talking about it. And I was like, that's not even a continuation. That's just a remake. So I was like, it's going to be cool to see a sequel to a love show already. And I was like, and it's for, you know, we love anything for us.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I
will say I didn't watch a lot of A Different World, but I know it was it inspired a lot of people my age and slightly older to like go to college or go to HBCU, so I think that'll be kind of good to bring that back.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah. So bit of a good news like wrap up. But anything else before we close out?
I don't think so.
All righty. Well, thank y'all.
Hydrate.
Yes, hydrate. And stay warm.
Yes.
Are you telling me to hydrate there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I have my bottle. All right. Thank y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Are we going to be back Thursday?
We'll see. We can.
Okay. Yeah, we might be back later this week, because I'm on vacation. But yeah, we might be back later this week or sometime next week, but we'll let y'all know in Discord as always. But yeah, thanks y'all for coming out. We'll catch y'all later.